What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax from the drop to your doorstep. eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The Volume.
It's Jenkins and Jones presented by FanDuel. The NBA season is kicking into gear, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel. The app is safe, secure, and easy to use. FanDuel has exclusive offers, boosts, and more all month long. When you win, you'll get paid fast. FanDuel has lots of ways to play, like the spread, money line, over-unders, team totals, player props, and so much more. Jump into the action at any time during the game with live betting, and combine multiple bets from the same game in a same-game parlay and try out same-game parlay plus. So, download the FanDuel app today to start making every moment more. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG.
Oh yeah, live boys, live podcasting.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. This live shit is just, you know, as we're continuing to get ready for the playoffs, the going live on Amazon Amp is whooping Jackson's butt a little bit, but that's okay. We're good. He's trying to wrangle the pregame. The pregame before
also,
the game.
Also, we're children, so that doesn't help at all.
Oh, either, right. So. That's what I mean. He's in charge. He's supposed to have three other people working at the daycare with him, and he got left by himself.
Sorry,
with
man.
All the problem children. This is Jenkins and Jones coming to you live on Amazon Amp. It is Wednesday, March 29th. If you're listening on the other platforms, it's either March 29th or it's Thursday, March 30th. But thanks for listening wherever you are. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one.
With Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, bubbas?
And we're recording in the middle of a fucking rainstorm.
Wait. Motherfucking
Mike.
Oh,
I'm guarding.
Where the
I'm
fuck
Mike.
Is the motherfucking Mike?
Motherfucking Mike.
Sorry.
Motherfucking Mike.
Come on, man. Motherfucking Mike.
I didn't mean to deprive you guys of the
motherfucking. That sounds so nasty. The G on that is ugly, but anyway.
We are recording in the middle of a rainstorm in Southern California, and I call it a rainstorm, and I felt comfortable doing that because my house is currently under a flood advisory. But Jonathan LeJethro Jenkins Nichols from the country really looked right down
signing
his nose
in
at
from
me.
St. Louis, you feel me? Come on, man. Dog, it's raining. Not a lick of thunder, no lightning seen anywhere, bro. You feel
Is
me?
Is that not a thunderstorm?
It's not even torrential, bro. We were outside, me and my baby girl, watching the rain. You don't watch storms, okay? You know what I mean? Then you ain't no, you know what I mean? You niggas getting paid to watch storms, putting their life in jeopardy, nigga. You know what I mean? I'm not out there with my baby just sitting there watching the rain pitter patter. I'm not going to let you call that a storm, man. And maybe I'm bougie. I think that's you being bougie, but that may be me. I don't
Who's
know.
Being bougie, what Tyler?
Um,
You know, you're a native Long Beach person. You know, you grew up only seeing rain twice a year. So I feel like your perspective is skewed on this shit. You know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, I think that it probably is a storm to you, because probably anytime it rains is a storm in your perspective. But
we shut the whole city down, man. The whole fucking west side of Long Beach floods if we get half an inch of water.
That's wild. Yeah. Y'all's infrastructure is not built for that shit. Like, I remember when it was raining like a few months back and LAX was flooded and shit. Like,
it has been an exceptionally rainy season in Southern California, which I think John would acknowledge. It's like the it's like 20 something inches of rain. It's the most rain we had since the 70s. I think they said there's now 300 inches of snow in the snowpack on the mountains. Like, they're worried it's going to be avalanches all down the mountains in California.
Avalanches? Oh, shit.
There's like 7 feet of snow.
Jesus Christ.
Like, everywhere across the whole mountains. And the sun is eventually going to come out. So, you know, shit's got to go somewhere. I don't know.
Shit going to get ugly.
All right. I guess I'm just living the soft life of a Long Beach podcaster.
Congratulations,
though.
Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, my brother. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. The two fishermen who were using lead weights to weigh their fish down so that they would win the fishing contest have pled guilty to a felony charge of, and I want you to listen to this very closely, a felony charge of, quote, cheating, which I just...
Never heard of it.
I grew up reading John Grisham novels and stuff, watching SVU. I thought it had to be more complicated than just cheating. You can't get charged with cheating, can you?
Well, everyone's got convicted for cheating.
Like, yeah, they pled guilty to felony cheater, cheating.
Well, I mean,
what's the consequences? What's the consequences?
Shit, like Mike said, it's a felony. Like, they were making tens and thousands off this shit. Like,
so their sentencing date, because there may actually be jail time associated with it, will be coming in May. But so far, their fishing license has been suspended for 3 years, and they've had to return the $100,000 boat that they won by cheating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look, y'all know I'm not a rule stickler motherfucker. Like, you know, I'm all for motherfuckers, like, you know, getting over on big business and shit. But you can't cheat at the fishing homies like this, bro. The swift hand of justice had to come down on you. You cannot do the fishing bros like this, dog. This is what they've been looking forward to for fucking months. You know, they had this whole Saturday mapped out. They out there, you know, just want to do some competitive fishing, kickback a little. And you out here cheating, bro. You are cheating the game, and you are cheating the spirit of fishing. Because fishing is not supposed to be full of this bullshit. Fishing is supposed to be where you go and all the bullshit goes out the window. You know what I'm saying? It's supposed to be an escape from all the bullshit. And they brought the bullshit to the sanctuary of fishing, and I'm not fucking with it.
Bro, if I invite you to come fishing with me, nigga, I would die for you.
Flat out.
You feel what I'm saying? No. Like, fishing, bro, if I ask you to come out there and not say nothing with me for like some hours, nigga, you can't scare the fish, nigga. You know what I mean? I genuinely just enjoy your fucking company. They ruin the sanctity of that. There's a certain level of honor that comes with fishing, my nigga. You know what I mean? And I know they some country motherfuckers. What all the shit, the way I heard people talking out there, they know better. You know what I mean? So goddamn right, even if they created a law which was breaking the law of cheating, they deserved it, nigga. That Looney Tunes ass motherfucking law they broke. Goddamn right, nigga. You know what I mean?
I just want to know, like, what is
they need cocaine. Give them the same. If a nigga that get caught with some powder with that girl on them, give them the same shit. That's worse to me, nigga. You feel me? A girl ain't hurt a little. That girl ain't hurt. You know, ain't never hurt nothing before. You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of functioning folks on that girl. You know what I mean? But dog, what they did right there was dastardly. Get them the fuck out of here.
Where's your crown now? Was so eloquently stated during
these cocaine's for fun, nigga. Ain't no fun in cheating, you know, fishing folk. That's crazy.
I want to know what the pettiest thing you could get convicted of cheating like would be over. Is it the fish thing, or could I take fucking Madden 64 to court? Could I take Madden 98 to court for cheating? You know what I mean? Like, when the game was fucking cheating you. Like,
Gotta be some money. There gotta be money on the line, I figure, if you know, for the court to hear that shit out.
Gotta poker be. Game, though? Well, like, your friend's garage? Poker game.
You could probably catch a charge for a poker game, I would think. But I don't know. That would kind of be, like, a legal game. I feel like it would have to be something sanctioned with a monetary prize or something, you know?
You'd be a real asshole to call the cops on your friend for cheating you at poker, too. Like, you just got to beat him up. You can't, like, you can't call the cops.
Yeah, I got to squab that shit out, bro.
We got weights and fish.
Bro, iconic come on,
moment.
Dog.
Iconic moment. All right. You guys want him to? You guys want him under the prison?
We was on the side
under the jail.
Of probably. Oh yeah, 90% of those people were Trumpers, and I was firmly on their side. The one thing that'll link us together is cheating while fishing, nigga. Get the fuck out of here, bro. Crazy, nigga. Them niggas was wildin', bro. Maybe they was on cocaine when they was doing it. So maybe like
you gotta be on something to start shoving lead weights into a dead fish's mouth.
Thinking like, you're gonna get away with that?
Yeah,
dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man.
The part, honestly, the weights are bad, but the part where they were shoving fish fillets into the fucking fish, really
fish into fish.
That sucks, bro.
My nigga. I think that's the part that disgusts them more. Than the actual lead. Fish and fish.
Fishing, a fucking
the homophobia
dunking.
In them somehow was enacted.
Right. Like, they're like,
fish and fish, this is wrong.
Because there's a respect between fishermen and fish. And it's like, you killed bro and then you made him deep throat another one of him. Like,
fish.
Right. all right,
ungodly.
We do have an update to the long-running squirrel versus rat, which animal is more athletic debate on the Jenkins and Jones podcast. Is that a SoundCloud? That's SoundCloud, right? The original one?
Oh, yeah. That's like some 2015 shit. Gotta be. Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Truly one of the stupidest and funniest and happiest things that exists on the internet was you guys... going on about rats and squirrels forever. Had me yelling in my car, but someone's updated us. There's a video going around. I know Tyler and I both retweeted it of a squirrel in Atlanta out there on a court. The squirrel just jumped right in the game. You know, he was trying to play defense. He was fucking
quick on his feet too, bro. You see, saw that lateral movement? Hey, fundamentals, man. You can't teach that. That's natural instinct. Great defenders are born, not made, bro.
Does this move the needle? Did we get to see a little glimpse of the true squirrel athleticism on the court? What do we think?
I feel like, I don't know if this is new evidence, because I feel like this is kind of my whole thing, is like squirrels are shiftier, quicker, more, you know, better lateral move. Like, that was one of the tenets of my argument there. So, you know, it was good to see it kind of translate into the real world there, though.
As a nigga that used to wear shorts under his jeans to play, you know, ready to play basketball at all times, and seeing him just ready to hop out there and hoop, it did speak to me a little bit. I think, you know, when it comes to squirrels, just natural athleticism, I think we've all admitted that squirrels are more naturally athletic. But putting him into situations, like, I wouldn't want a squirrel to be my point guard. You know what I mean? So he could be a finisher, you know what I mean, a slasher. But, you know... mental positions, that's what we question the squirrel. So I don't know if it moved the needle, but I did like what I saw.
Who's the most squirrely NBA player? I think it's probably Shea. Real Trae shifty. You think Trae? I think Shea Gilly. Real shifty, real unorthodox. You know what I'm saying? That's my vote.
I think Shea has rat tendencies. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to get into arguments. because he doesn't, it's not really flashy. He knows his spots and he can get to him. He's explosive, and we've talked about it before, that rats are explosive as well. But he plays a particular type of game, and you just can't keep him away from his spots because of his shiftiness. You know what I mean? So I think that kind of leans towards rat as well. So maybe he's a hybrid?
Ooh.
A hybrid athlete? Yuck.
A squat? You say he's a squat out here?
Hey, maybe the greatest athletes are hybrid. Maybe there's something to be said there.
I think
we can do some research.
You know, like, we all love basketball, but I think about the relative size of the squirrel to the people it was trying to play basketball with. You never loved basketball enough to try and play basketball with people that are 250 feet tall. right?
Oh,
like
no,
that.
No, 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 no,
that squirrel's desire for the game, because he's looking too up at their kneecaps. You know what I mean? And he was fearless out there. He hopped in like, fearless. Let's fucking get it.
Big respect, big respect. The squirrels have my respect now at minimum.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Squirrel got that dog.
We're getting there.
He's got that, that dog. Squirrel's got that
I still
dog.
Won't forget the squirrel that died. That had a heart attack trying to decide which way to fucking go. And that Adrian can speak to as well, because y'all didn't believe me when I told you. Adrian's in the car with me. The motherfucker didn't know which way to go and just had a heart attack.
I'm well aware. I've seen it happen. It's a tragic and hilarious thing. It's like
I even hit the brakes like, bro, what you want to do? And he just...
I don't know.
Killed over right in front of him.
Game over.
Right. Imagine a squirrel in a clutch moment, dog. That was part of my argument. Yeah. But anyway,
tough scene. Also, tough scene. Baltimore Ravens fans woke up earlier this week, and you know, a lot of people have notifications set up for their favorite athletes, etc. And they woke up to Lamar Jackson, and God bless him, just got on Twitter and was like, "Hey, man, I asked the Ravens for a trade." I'm letting y'all know from me on my Twitter, where I don't do any bullshitting. You do not see any notes app shit here. I'm just letting y'all know I asked for a trade. I have to think. I mean, we know Rita. We know. We all know some Ravens fans. Like, that's got to be one of the most painful experiences as a fan. I'm on Twitter. I'm looking for the funny joke of the morning, and my favorite player on my favorite team is telling me I'm getting the fuck out of here.
I don't think it really blindsided them, though. I think we all saw this coming. We all knew Lamar wasn't happy there. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like it came out of nowhere. You know, it wasn't some motherfucking, you know, it wasn't like the shit that Nets fans had to go through, where we just woke up one day and Kyrie was like, get me the fuck out of here. But yeah, it's this whole experience with Lamar not having an agent and being, you know, his own mouthpiece publicly like this, it's been intriguing for me. I've been very invested in this. Never seen anything quite like this. I think there's a lot of people saying that he needs an agent. And I'm on that side too, because I just like, why do you want to be the one who talks to fucking 70-year-old billionaires? You know what I mean? But I mean, I think Lamar's whole angle is, bro, ain't no talking. I want Deshaun money, and don't call me unless you're gonna give me Deshaun money. You know what I mean? So it's been a very interesting development here with this whole Lamar representing himself angle.
What are the Ravens looking for? I know they said they didn't want to give him. They said he asked for like a guaranteed contract, all guaranteed money. He said he didn't do that. Like what are the Ravens looking for? Like, I mean, how many quarterbacks in the league are better than him? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to find a quarterback that good, you know, like in 30 years. You feel me? So like, what are they trying to? What are they doing with this? I don't understand.
I think,
you know,
the challenge for the NFL, because they do have a hard cap, is, you know, when you they always talk about like the window for winning an NFL championship, unless you have one of those, you know, super elite guys. And I agree, Lamar's obviously super, super elite. But is once you start allocating 40% or whatever it is of your salary to your quarterback, it really squeezes what else you can sign. Now,
for sure.
Lamar's
for
argument, sure, which is very correct, is it's not like you've been using the cap room to surround me with great weapons. So as well fucking give me the money. But yeah, the added context of it is that situation. And then, like you brought up with the guaranteed money, you know, Deshaun Watson got a contract from the Browns that the entire rest of the league, the moment it was signed, pinched their nose and said, no fucking
ain't
way.
No fucking way. Right.
And so you mix that in with the obviously the racial politics of Lamar and the way that he's been talked about by not just NFL media, but by we've seen people in other front offices. Some of the same stereotypes of he's a black quarterback, so it's about athleticism, etc. You know, it's sort of a perfect storm of shit the NFL is bad at in terms of labor relations, race relations. And it just sucks that I think in part, like Tyler mentioned, because he doesn't have an agent, it's kind of just all falling down on this one guy's shoulders. Whereas an agent maybe is able to get in there and say, hey man, you're not going to be the guy for the NFLPA to try and change everything for the NFL. We want to get you paid. We don't want you holding out indefinitely for a contract amount that literally the Browns might just have been the only team that's willing to commit to that high of a guaranteed number to someone other than Patrick Mahomes, you know? So I don't know what the Ravens want. And I also don't know where this goes for Lamar, because I don't know who else out there is really willing to meet that number. That's what I worry about for him.
Yeah. Well, they franchise tagged him, so I think it's really just going to come down to a stare off on okay, Lamar, are you going to play this season? Or are you going to get bet on yourself again, sit out a whole season and expect to get $200 million, right? Like, I think that's what it's going to come down to.
Lose,
we'll see.
Lose for him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's a tough, yeah.
But Lamar's standing on business, man. He is not backing down at all. So, I mean, like, it would not surprise me at all if he said, nah, fuck that. I'll sit out next season, too. I wouldn't be surprised one bit. I honestly wouldn't.
I agree, but I think if his salary demand, particularly guaranteed money, doesn't change, I don't think that's going to make it more likely mm-hmm. that someone meets that number. That's what. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, that's what worries me. Sometimes you get so deep in the negotiation process that it becomes personal, and you're willing to say, I'm willing to move off my number, you know, even if I got to fucking, you know, go kamikaze and take you down a bit with me too. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think we might get to that.
But that's where agent comes into play mm-hmm. too, though. You know what I'm saying? Where it doesn't get as personal when the agent is saying all the shit you're saying. You know, you're not hearing, you know, a 70-year-old billionaire saying, basically, fuck you, you don't deserve this in your ear. You know what I mean? Your agent's kind of relaying it. It sounds a little different when you're looking a man in the face and he's saying this shit to you. So, yeah, I don't know, man. But
it sucks.
It sucks.
All right. Another thing that sucks. The NFL did not renew the contract for Jim Trotter, very well-respected black journalist who'd been at NFL Network, which obviously is kind of state media for the NFL. Although, to Jim Trotter's enormous credit, he was one of the reporters from NFL Network who, at Roger Goodell's annual public press conference, would ask him about the lack of diversity and other black faces at NFL Network. I think this is sort of fitting timing for us. We've got Tashawn Reed on this Saturday's Jenkins and Jones and Friends talking about his podcast about the NFL and race and the race problem in the NFL. He tweeted today, I don't know how this issue ever gets better if the NFL continues to pretend it doesn't have a race problem. So Tyler, what'd you think of the news about Jim Trotter? And yeah, I mean, it's like Tashawn, we're all big fans of his podcast series, but he pretty much nailed it.
Yeah, I mean, for one, first off, want to say I really got to tune into that Tashawn episode that we got coming this Saturday. It was amazing. Got to peep his podcast series too, and we'll be plugging that as well. You know, I just want to commend Jim Trotter, because for him to hop out there so publicly, challenge the commissioner when he knew he was in a negotiation season, that took balls, you know, and it unfortunately ended this way for him, which is a fucking travesty, which I don't think is a coincidence. But you know, it goes back to, you know, what Tashawn said about how if we're not going to address these race issues, you know, these disparities and such in the NFL, we're never going to make progress here. And for you to just, you know, not renew the contract of, you know, the black reporter for your league, it just speaks volumes, but it doesn't tell us anything we didn't already know.
I think they're actually doing the opposite. You know, I mean, instead of addressing it, they're trying to push it to the side.
You're silencing one of the most vocal mouthpieces of it now.
Exactly. It's just such a wild, it's a wild time. It has to change eventually, but I just don't, they're still fighting against it in this way. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boog. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
That's my game, bro.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The NBA season is coming down to the wire, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Big Thursday night game coming up on TNT between the Bucks and the Celtics. I know Jackson's butthole is very tight about that game. Fellas, what's your prediction?
I'll say take all the overs with Giannis. I think this is one of those games that he gets up for. He knows that, you know, this is a team that's going to be in his way in this postseason. I think he's going to spaz out. I think he's probably going to give us like a 40 burger, probably like 40 fucking 15 and like 8 or something. That's what I'm thinking.
Giannis is going to put the hammer down, take all the overs, and they're going to whoop the Celtics' ass. Sorry, Jackson. I hate to say it, but it looks like it's coming. It's going to turn out to be that way, man.
All right. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/JANJ. That's FanDuel.com/JANDJ to learn more. And if you're in Massachusetts, get ready because FanDuel is coming soon. Make sure you check out FanDuel.com/Mass. And take advantage of their great pre-live offers. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. National disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or visit FanDuel.com/RG. All right, let's talk about, we're recording, obviously we're live right now on Wednesday. Draymond Green had a fucking vintage, frame it, put it on the wall, make sure
one for the Raptors.
Shit, yeah, right, yeah. Absolute vintage Draymond game against the Pelicans last night. You know, Jackson said it, and obviously Jackson produces Draymond's show, so we've got a massive conflict of interest on Jackson's opinion. But he was right. It was just it was him pushing all the buttons that he has to push and all of them working to help turn the Warriors around in a game that was basically potentially a play-in preview, potentially what's going to help give someone the sixth seed and avoid the play-in. But it's fun watching Draymond go full Draymond, man.
That was an experience, though. We got everything Draymond. We got from Draymond that motherfucking game. We had the motherfucking mix up where he did the antagonizing judo leg tackle shit when they were trying to get up. We had the mother him talking shit to CJ McCollum, telling him he wasn't gonna do shit. we had the motherfucking him talking shit after the game. Like, don't nobody do this shit like me. Motherfuckers talk when they up, but not when they down 20. Like, just everything, bro.
He also was so adamant. I mean, he was right to be adamant that the coaches should have called for a challenge on a charge call on him late in the game. According to the homie Marcus Thompson, he then at the next time out was cussing the coaches out for not challenging the play. We got the whole experience,
though. I think what was this stat line, like 8 points, 12 assists. Like, he's the only person that affects the game enough with 8 points and 12 assists where Chris Haynes is interviewing after the game. You know what I mean?
He's also a great interviewer. That helps a lot, too.
Yeah, he's a great interview for sure. But, eight points, 12 assists, you're not really going to interview most people with that stat line. You know what I mean? But he affects the game in that way. And he's one of the few people that is, when he's mad, he plays better. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's, like, three people in the league that are angry and they can still play good. You know what I mean? Partly, like I said before, the pod is because his game is predicated on, you know, like, it's not predicated on, you know, finesse. You know what I mean? But, dog, yeah, I mean.
And he's one of the rare shit talkers who keeps coming out on top. Like, a motherfucker like Pat Bev has been on 8 teams the last 3 seasons, while motherfucking Draymond has won, like, 4 of the last fucking 8 championships. You know what I mean? So.
totally different league. Yeah. Bro.
He did catch an L when he was talking shit, and then I don't even remember.
Oh boy, was like,
but he was like, hey, I think your coach is taking you out of the game. And he was so pissed.
That's life though. Even while winning, you're gonna take a few.
But he also who did he call a bitch? Did he call B.I. a bitch?
CJ McCollum has been getting harassed by this Warriors squad since KD told that man in 2017, 2018, don't worry about what's going on at the top. You stay where you at. And now you got Draymond Green telling you ain't gonna
that's
do shit.
Bar.
Like
that's a bar.
Miles Brown, M. Brown on Twitter, friend of the show, tweeted, imagine a man consistently scared to shoot a basketball calling you a bitch. To your face. No one gets suspended longer than 20 minutes anymore, and the fine for a fight is literally equivalent to a parking ticket. Beat his ass.
I'm sorry, bro.
Miles funny as
he ain't beating his ass, though.
Yeah, I don't think CJ got that dog.
He not beating that man ass, dog. He made the right decision.
That is for sure a rat versus squirrel fight. I gave rats the credit for having hands. Like, you and a rat and a squirrel in the octagon, shit's going to get real ugly for the squirrel. And that is for sure a rat-squirrel matchup right there, dog.
You don't want to get called a bitch by a nigga that's scared to shoot the ball and then him turn you into a bitch and treat you like one, you know what I mean? Like,
get the double down bitch special. Called you a bitch beat your ass. And probably called you a bitch while beating your ass.
Right? I remember we talked about that conference back in the day where, you know, dude smashing your chicken, you fight and get whooped by that nigga. You know what I mean? It's kind of that ilk, you know what I mean? It got that stench to it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that was another Jenkins and Jones classic because I believe you described the specific visual of getting beaten up by a naked man.
Yeah, we were talking about them damn penguins, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Oh shit. Okay. I think about
those penguins more than I should, bro.
He got his eye gouged out, Tyler.
Bro, that
we need to where are they now?
Went home.
We need a follow up doc on the penguins,
bro. How long do those penguins live? They probably still living for sure. They probably got another 15 years on them. He got to live with that one eye. Well, the dude that lost the eye might not be living because it's cold out there in the wild.
You need all your eyes in the wild.
You ain't got your peripheral gone, dog. You know what I mean? Shit.
Crazy.
He's inside of an orca whale at this point. I'm Googling penguin life expectancy. 15 to 20 years.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good little life expectancy. You know what I mean? For what they doing over there. I don't think you want to live more than 20 years in that weather. Right. Well, getting somebody.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Magellanic penguins, which are like, because there's like tropical penguins. They live the longest. They lived to 30 years.
The South American ones.
Yeah. All right. I want to talk about someone tweeted before social media, what did people do to get attention? And at Fine Godmother quote tweeted and said, tell people that great-great-grandma was full-blooded Cherokee.
That was a thing. When we was growing up, motherfuckers stayed saying they had some goddamn Indian in their family, dog.
Always Cherokee.
Always.
I got something to say, but I ain't gonna
say it.
No, I'm not gonna say it.
I'm not gonna say it, my boy. Nah, I made a fool of myself enough.
Nah, bro, I'm not gonna say it. But there's some proof. I'll say that to my statement.
But we'll talk about it in the group chat. We'll keep that.
Your mom listens to the podcast. Self-deletion is what that is. I respect that. The number of arguments that friends of mine tried to end with that about like that they have an intuition because one of their family members was full-blooded Cherokee is like, fuck. It's like, there's no comeback to it. I didn't have a comeback to it.
What the fuck
I believed
that?
Everything though.
I don't know. I just had to bring that tweet up. I thought that was the fucking funniest shit.
There were some bangers in there though too. Look at the quote tweets. Like there were some I forget. I mean, anyway, but there were some bangers in there. That was a hell of a thread.
Okay. Someone asked this question on Twitter quite some time ago and I've been thinking about it a lot since then. And the question is, why do we still, even though no one has door knockers anymore, Why do we still raise our hands to knock on doors? Because the motion of doing that is it's a holdover from knocking, like taking the door knocker and knocking it on the door. There's no reason to put your hand up by your eyeball to knock on a door, except that that is what was like culturally handed down from when door knockers existed.
But no, I think you get more like power to knock on the door. Like are you going to knock like this?
You could do it. You could do it at literally any height, but you do it at that height because of the door, because like that's what your dad did and his dad because of door knockers. That was the theory.
You saying we've been socialized to believe we're supposed to knock on doors in that
yes.
way?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
I don't think that's the truth.
But what, like is there any other thing that you do where you put your hand that high up in the air?
This is not comfortable. Any other way?
It's not comfortable because it's not what you do.
This right here is comfortable to you. Like physically, it just doesn't feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Like this is just more comfortable.
Why not this?
It's because that's silly. And you don't like doing. And you're not going to get the type of this. It's not going to be loud enough. You don't get enough power that way, bro. You know what I mean? I don't think you need to knock on a door like a fucking police and close you know what I'm saying, do this type of shit. But this right here, it just seems more comfortable. I don't know, man. I don't know. We need to look into that. Is there research behind it? Let's be the people that do the research behind it. We're going to do a narrative podcast. I'm going to Google it while Tyler gives his thoughts on door knocking.
Hold on.
We're going to interview people, all of that, do a podcast on just why we knock on a door that way.
I mean, I feel like the door knocker might have been placed there because that's how we just knock. Like that might have been the placement might have came after our knocking motion was
after
established.
Maybe door knockers were created after the knocking. That makes a lot of sense to me too, because it's more natural to knock that way. So let's just put the door knocker where people naturally knock.
But even like, why do we knock on doors as opposed to kicking them? Like,
it's all in the angles, right? Like, you can't knock like this. You got to have some goddamn
right.
You got to be at a 90 degrees with it. You feel me?
Hitter, you feel me after talking about how to knock on doors?
Sidearm it.
I love that.
You can sidearm it.
No. No, it's not comfortable. You looked awkward doing it.
But I look awkward doing it because that's how you've been seeing people knock on doors.
You look awkward doing it because you look awkward doing it. It's not because, no. Bro, you can do things differently and not look awkward. That's an awkward way of knocking on the door. If you saw a nigga knocking on the door like that.
But that's because I grew up in a society where everyone knocks on doors like this. But I'm
not no, bro. There's people that do things differently that don't look weird. That looks weird because it is weird, Mike. You know what I mean? You know, like
I'm gonna do a deep dive on this. It appears that door knockers were invented in ancient Greece, but in other ancient societies, people did not knock on doors like that.
What, did they just go to the door and yell or some shit?
Yeah.
Really?
Did they? Were there actual, like, what were the doors made out of? Like, were there wooden doors
Greek
where
doors
it doesn't make
sense? Wooden doors with a bronze knocker on it.
No, it said, I'm saying prior to that, prior to that, you were saying that people didn't knock on doors. Like, you're not knocking on something that doesn't make a reverberate sound throughout the house. You know what I mean? Like, if it's a material that's not going to do that, you're not going to knock on it.
You also got to remember, like, there was nothing, no fucking sounds in your house back in fucking 2000 BC. There wasn't a TV going. There wasn't a fucking refrigerator humming. Like, you could probably just walk to somebody's door like, yo, you in there, dog. Like,
you heard that nigga half a mile
Martinus.
Away.
Right.
Asclepius, right. Where art thou? No.
The nigga was galloping on a horse up to your shit. You heard that motherfucker, you know? Them hooves, come on, G.
It did make me think, though, this is like one of Char's pet things that she always keeps an eye out for, is the like technological holdovers, like how like the save icon is still a floppy disk, even though like our kids, they recognize the floppy disk as is the save icon. They have no idea that anything like that existed. So it's like a ghost of something that technology that used to exist. We still have door knockers, obviously, but I don't know. I think I'm fascinated by that. Similarly, they think like when the iTunes logo was a CD, that's just what Vinny thought that was, because he never used.
Do y'all
a
knock
CD.
On doors? Do y'all? I think I kind of text. I'm outside. I mean, if they don't respond to the text, I'll knock on the door. But that's like the knocking on doors now is a last resort, bro. Are we losing everything? You know what I'm saying? I'm outside. I'm pulling up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the last time I like knocked on someone's door.
Bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a common thing.
Yeah. I mean,
Tracy,
for what?
That's a great point you brought up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't go. I don't go anywhere unannounced. So usually I'm texting like, yo, I'm pulling up. And you just get a little. Like, I knock with my fucking fingers because I know you're waiting to hear me knock. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Just a little.
If I knock it
off. You know when the last time I knocked the door on was, actually, I think, was at John's house.
Probably makes sense.
Because John was not home, but I was delivering pizzelles for Mike. Don't have Rod's phone number. Had to knock on the door.
Oh, yeah. You felt awkward as fuck about it, too.
Very
he probably had to Very like awkward. He probably started here and was like, no, that's not right. He had to try a different. Oh, this is how you're not gonna
for
do
the record
it.
I actually agree with Mike on this one.
You think,
but
you do, you know, we've been socializing.
No, I just think that the socializing aspect is like, why is it harder?
Like, why don't we just tap the bottom of the door with our feet? You know what I mean? Like why is it this, like, specific motion?
That feels a little disrespectful to me. I feel like
when you walk up to a door, your hands are down by your hips, your legs, right? Why don't you just reach right where you don't have to raise your arm up? Just reach down there and knock.
You could just do your wrist in the opposite direction. It's the same noise.
It would look silly, yes, but only because
I don't know if that gets. I don't know if this is going to get the same amount of sound as this.
No, I would still do the front part of the knuckle, the same part of the knuckle that you knock on, just with your hand.
Oh, you're saying if you turn it around, you knock like this.
I've never, exactly.
But like, this is my point. And I remember being in elementary school and thinking, what if Cookie Monster was green? Right? And I remember thinking like, oh, that would be weird as fuck because Cookie Monster is blue. And I was like, but the only reason I think Cookie Monster is blue is because I've seen him be blue my entire life. Right?
But that does make your point.
But
I don't think this makes
but
your point.
But if you grew up in ancient Greece, they had put the door knocker on the bottom part of the doorknob because they could only make one piece of bronze or some shit. Would that not culturally have been handed down for 2,000 years?
And
that's where we knock on the door.
I get your point completely. Right. And I could be talking from a socialized mind that is saying that is socialization and this isn't. But I'm speaking from I guess physiology.
You're speaking as someone with a Cherokee ancestor that has intuition.
You feel me? I'm telling you.
In tune to the ancestors.
You feel me? You feel me? But it just seems like the body, it makes more sense. Like the body makes more sense to do it this way than the other way. That's just what it seems like to me. But like you said, I could be speaking from a mind that's, you know, but I also couldn't.
It's a conspiracy. That's what Big Door Knock wants you to think.
Jesus Christ.
All right. That's all the time we got. Oh, do we have any questions, Jackson, in the chat? I forgot to tell people to do that.
Nah, we don't. We do have some people chiming in. Shout out to those chiming in the chat. I got someone saying, my man's is on one. Why not just kick down the door? Hello.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Right.
That's a great point. Why not just kick down the door?
No. To me, it's like kicking somebody's door to me. I think if I put up to their house and kick their door, that's kind of disrespectful. That's not my door, my nigga. Like, we can't even put our feet on. You know, we're told not to put our feet on shit growing up.
But there's,
you know,
like, cultures where they greet each other with their heads, bro, right? Like, I'm just saying, it's like we're socialized on that, too.
I understand that. I understand your point completely.
Yeah. You just think
I'm like, but in our society, we're not kicking doors. So we're going to use our hands. You know what I mean? This makes the most sense when you're using your hand.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's all the time we got. I'm glad that at least one person in the chat agrees that we should probably not kick the door down, I guess. That's good.
One thing I want to mention before we leave, though, is Tyler's point about things being quieter back in the day. Like how quiet it was at that. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. God, that must have been beautiful. You know what I mean? Like your house, your surroundings that peaceful. You know what I mean? Where you're like a nigga galloping down the street. You know what I mean? Like we have so much. What's the term? Like
white noise.
Noise pollution. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the thought of that made me extremely jealous. Yes, you may die from a common cold in 3.5 days, but it's peaceful.
Yes, if you got a headache, you'd ask someone to drill a hole in your skull.
But the 23 years you were on this planet was very peaceful. You fucking geezer. When 30 was like 85 back then, but anyway, yeah.
All right.
And that made me jealous.
Check out Saturday. We got the Jenkins and Jones and Friends, which is Sean Reed dropping. I know all three of us really liked that interview, and definitely tune into that and check out Deshaun's podcast series with The Athletic. And then we will be back for another episode on Sunday night / Monday morning. We'll be going live Sunday night. So stay tuned for that. And we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.